Welcome to the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with your co-hosts Matthew Davis and Matt Kupferle.
Welcome to episode 20, number 20 of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm your co-host Matt Kupferle, and I'm joined on a very nice Midwestern afternoon day by my coastal counterpart, Matthew Davis. Matthew, how's it going, man?
Happy Kershaw Day. That's always a holiday in this household, so I'm excited and looking forward to the GOAT taking the mound tonight.
Nice. Yes, he has certainly been on fire. I wrote him up about how money he is in a couple of my DFS pieces today. I'm looking for him to just keep cooking on like he has been the whole year. What a stud he's been. So,
yeah, it seems like, you know, Father Time is getting the best of, you know, like Madison Bumgarner and Felix Hernandez and some of those other guys. But Clayton Kershaw just keeps on trucking.
Still crushing. And now.
And I don't want to hear any fucking October jokes either. So.
No.
Tired of those.
What I was going to say was, it looks like your boy Walker Buehler is rounding into form because he was just straight dirty last night.
You can expect his last four starts of the season to be pretty elite, I would assume.
Yeah, he's been great. I think I don't think he got the win yesterday. Did he get the win? No.
No, it ended up going into extras. Mookie hit a home run in the ninth, and then Smith walked it off. Yeah.
The Mookie goat. Yeah, but he was amazing last night. So, but enough Dodgers love. We want to touch on a couple of things today on our podcast. A couple of quick trade deadline things that we've heard about. Nothing that we want to go too in-depth on, as we figured that's probably been covered quite a bit. But a lot of injury news with only 3.5 weeks to go. This weekend will kick off. Tomorrow kicks off. You know, the final 3 weeks from today will be the final weekend series of the regular season. So still some time to make up some ground, you know, being 6.5 weeks in. But for a lot of teams, there's some doubleheaders coming up and some other things that we want to touch on quickly. So first things first, we joked as we talked with Ariel Cohen the other day about the Padres trading for everyone. It certainly feels like they did. But Matthew, a couple of key things I'm curious to get your thoughts on. Let's start with position players first. Mitch Moreland was acquired from the Padres. Another lefty bat. As you know, they had obviously Fernando Tatis Jr., who's at the top of that lineup, along with Manny Machado. Added maybe a little bit more balance to Eric Hosmer in that lineup. What are you thinking about Mitch Moreland? Is he full-time DH? Is he the first baseman and Hosmer goes to the DH? Do you think there's a chance that, you know, what do they do against left-handed pitching? How are you looking at that situation?
Yeah, I think Mitch Moreland is the full-time DH there, and I think that they will continue to roll Eric Hosmer out at first. The people that it might ding, because it is getting a little bit crowded there, they have Austin Nola and Jason Castro as well, and I'm not really sure how they're going to manage that situation. Yesterday they gave the run to Jason Castro, and he went 1-for-5, and he's a lefty, and Austin Nola is a righty, so I'm not sure if they're going to go with platoon splits, 60-40, I'm really just not sure, but Both catchers are viable. I think that both with that lineup can kind of give you that good volume that we talk about sometimes. I know that Castro kind of got off to a slow start and he was kind of dealing with some ailments, but now he seems fine and he was obviously able to pass his physicals to be traded. So those two could be splitting and eating into time, which is kind of a negative for Austin Nola, right? So he gets a better team. But, you know, maybe there's a downgrade or a dip in playing time there. So that's something that I would kind of monitor. But I wouldn't be cutting Austin Nola if he did even, you know, lose some playing time because the quality is just so good. And then Mitch Moreland, I don't think that he's going to lose playing time, really. They don't seem too concerned with splits in San Diego. Cronenworth gets his burn. Hosmer gets his, and so does Grisham. So I think the same is probably going to be said for Mitch Moreland as well.
Yeah, the one that we do know, Eric Hosmer has some pretty pronounced splits historically against left-handed pitching. So if anything, like you said, they've still kept him in the lineup. But maybe even they give Hosmer a day off, and now they've got the insurance and can slide Moreland over there. They also acquired Taylor Williams. How do you see him fitting in? I mean, it's a pretty good bullpen that they've got now. Do you think he has any chance to get saves, or where do you see him in the bullpen situation?
No, I think he gets absolutely zero. I think he's now third in the pecking order and can be dropped in all leagues, sadly.
And are you doing the same thing with Francisco Mejia? Is he just a cut?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's easy cut.
There's no way he can play, right?
No. He's long gone. Cut. Yeah. Even when healthy, I think I was starting to cut him because
Austin
was kind of eating into that playing time, and Mejia just wasn't doing anything. So for me, when I, you know, I don't, I'm pretty impatient with catchers. So
I think that's it. We see Mike Clevinger. He's making his first start today. I think that's kind of a non-plus. We knew, you know, he was going to get slotted in there. But it'll be interesting to see how he fits in. If he's throwing the baseball well, you know, that gives them some firepower at the top of that rotation, as they'll certainly need it, as Paddock has, you know, been a little bit off and on from that perspective. But it gives them, you know, an interesting power trio with Clevinger, Lamette. They can't match up, you know, when you add Paddock in. They don't match up, I don't think, with the Dodgers or the other powers. But they do have some interesting arms. And if they play a team like the Braves, who doesn't seem to have a whole lot of pitching, it's going to be interesting to see those two teams kind of do battle in the playoffs. Another team is the Marlins. It looks like the Marlins are going for it. They moved Jonathan Villar to the Blue Jays, but they did acquire Starling Marte from the Diamondbacks. And Matthew, I mean, they're not far out from a playoff spot. Do you think, I mean, not to speculate on whether they'll get in or not, but it seems like they're making a push, right, to get in?
Yeah, they're currently the seventh seed. They sit at 16-16, which is right above actually the Rockies. So the Rockies would be the eighth seed at 18-19. Playing below 500 ball would get you in right now. So those two teams are the ones that are sitting in that. What are they calling that? Is that at the wild card tier this year?
Yes, it is.
How are they breaking that up?
I just noticed that. It's called the division winners, the second place teams, and then the wild card winners.
Okay, fantastic. Okay, yeah, so the Miami Marlins are actually they're the seventh seed right now. So the Rockies, the Giants, the Brewers, and the Brewers and the Reds, man, I don't know what the heck is going on over there, but those two teams, yeah, they need to be above the Giants. They need to be above the Rockies and the Marlins, or at least on paper what we thought going into the season, but that's all behind us now. So the Marlins, it was a bummer to see Eliezer Hernandez go down. But they, you know, Pablo Lopez has been solid. They have Sandy Alcantara back, and the Sixto Sanchez, his three starts have been pretty phenomenal and fun to watch. So I like the front three of them, and that's kind of what you want to highlight when looking at a team's rotation right there is the first, you know, the top three. And so they do intrigue me. They intrigue me much more than the Colorado Rockies. How about you?
No, I think they're pretty interesting too. I will tell you, Matthew, you know, we've talked to a number of really smart analysts. We've gotten your opinion on this too, about how you figure out this really weird season, right? And I would tell you, I love Sixto Sanchez. I love him. I love everything about him. I know I use the term kid and I sound like a boomer, but he knows how to pitch. He's pitching backwards. He's been outstanding. He's a guy for me in 2021 that I think is going to be moving up draft boards because of just the maturity he's shown. I don't know if you watched him pitch last night specifically, but he was in the 70-ish pitch range in the seventh inning. I don't think he finished there. I think he finished in the low 80s. But, I mean, he's efficient from a pitch count perspective. I like him. I think they're tons of fun. I hope they get in. I'd love to see him keep going. I think the trade is interesting. What do you make sense of the Jonathan Villar move, though?
I love it.
Remind me again, who did they get back for Jonathan Villar?
I'm honestly not sure off the top of my head. I just know that what they had in mind was getting rid of him and then trading some pieces away to get Starling Marte, who has a club option for next year. That's the kind of like the highlight for me is you lost Villar and gained Marte, and you still have guys like John Birdie who are able to slide over.
Yes.
Miguel Rojas is back to play shortstop. Brian Anderson can play third and outfield. So they have a lot of guys that are multi-position eligible. Garrett Cooper as well. He's probably now going to slide up to that first base spot that we've now been seeing him come in, and he's been raking in the middle of the lineup. And then Jesus Aguilar was dealing with a little nagging injury, and so we might just see him go full DH for the for the Marlins. And so if that happens, I mean, you have Corey Dickerson, Starling Marte at the top with, you know, a lot of contact heavy guys like Brian Anderson and Jesus Aguilar. it bodes well for them, and they have speed as well, you know, with John Birdie and Starling Marte. So they're intriguing. They really are, and they're in a tough division, and to say the least, being 16-16, I know 500 is poo-poo, but they're there. They're the seventh seed right now, and they dealt with adversity, you know, having to do the missing time and getting off, you know, to a slow start in regards to volume of games played. So yeah. I'm kind of low-key kind of just cheering them on a little bit, I guess.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yep. No, I think you're right. I think they'd be a fun one to watch. The youngsters, the young arms are pretty interesting, and they'll be fun. So
yeah, and then to touch on Sixto, you know, we love the young guys, the shiny new toy, and then we especially the guys with velocity. So a couple years ago, it was Michael Kopech, and right away he looked really hot. And, you know, Dylan Cease was somebody people were getting really excited about. And a lot of these guys, more times than not, are extremely stressful. Yes, they get that strikeout and the swinging strikes, and you know, and you're like, yeah, that was awesome. Look at that, you know, the high heat and all the cool stuff and all the gifts and shit. And then, you know, when you're sitting down watching a lot of their starts, it's like, it's really frustrating. You know, they can't hit their spots, and, you know, they're kind of just getting hit around a little bit, and they're getting deep into counts, and the pitch count goes up early, and just a lot of, like, little blemishes seem to happen with a lot of those younger guys that have that big pedigree when they first come up, and that's just not the case with Sixto Sanchez. He is incredible, and I'm so excited to watch him every five days.
No, I agree with you 100%. It couldn't be – I mean, it's one of those things, Matthew, when you see somebody throw a 90-mile-an-hour changeup, you realize, holy crap, how much better are they at baseball than I ever was. But it's what a freaking special talent he is, and it'd be fun to see him get a playoff start for sure. So, okay, we're going to move on to a plethora of injury news. Matthew, I'm just going to kind of run through these quickly, but curious to get your fantasy take on a lot of these. We're going to try to move through just the ones that are the most important on the list. The biggest one being the Twins, who desperately need a shot in the arm right now. They are in a three-way hunt with the White Sox and the Cleveland Indians. Byron Buxton returned on Tuesday. Josh Donaldson returned with a couple of absolute rockets yesterday for base hits. Rocco Baldelli said they are going to be eased back into action. You saw Byron Buxton batted seventh on Tuesday and then was out of the lineup on Wednesday. The Twins are out or off today. I think the fantasy impact is you got to probably start these guys both right away, right? There's no reason to hold them off on your bench if you still have them on your roster.
Yeah, I would definitely cut both. And in regards to Buxton and Donaldson, I wouldn't be too concerned. There's just starts. So Buxton can pat the stolen bases that you're going to need. I don't care if you're first place in stolen bases right now or last, you still need to be, you know, aggressive in regards to stolen bases because the value of those is extreme right now because of how tight everything is. And Josh Donaldson, he looked amazing yesterday. And it's funny because when you pull up these standings, even though the Minnesota Twins are six games above 500, so they've played six games more than the Marlins, and obviously they're in completely different conferences in the AL, different leagues. And the Twins are actually the seventh seed as well, similar to the Miami Marlins that we just discussed. So they're, you know, they're no shoo-in, and I know people were wanting to talk about them being, you know, the World Series favorite, and, you know, they were going to be able to handle the Yankees and the Astros, and it hasn't been really easy for them, and they have dealt with some injuries and whatnot, but from a COVID standpoint and everything, they've been just kind of cruising along, like we mentioned to Jenny Butler and some of those twin stacks that she has, so they're not going to be able to be as, you know, conservative as they want to be with Donaldson and Buxton. So I would assume after this weekend, maybe, you know, maybe both or one of them gets a Saturday off and then a Sunday off over this weekend. But after that, I think that it's probably going to be full go for both.
Yep. Nope. I totally agree. The next one is Dexter Fowler. So Dexter Fowler's actually been pretty solid for the Cardinals. Their bats are starting to wake up a little bit, but he was placed on the injured list. He has a stomach ailment that reportedly, according to Derek Gould, he's taking antibiotics that are lowering his immune system. And the team actually announced the illness is significant enough. It sounds like they know what it is, but they're not releasing that he's expected to miss a few weeks. I think if that's the timetable, he's probably a cut, Matthew. But Is there anybody that you think is an immediate add from the Cardinals lineup that benefits from the unfortunate absence of Fowler?
I do not. So the ownership percentages on somebody like Tyler O'Neill were already pretty high. So he's not really somebody to look into. The one person that I saw that got the playing time was Lane Thomas.
Yeah.
And so I kind of tried to look into him and to see what the deal was, but he's going to be hitting ninth on the Cardinals. The Cardinals, it suck. Seems like one night, you know, you keep mentioning how terrible they've been and rightly so they have, you know, they'll score two runs, one run, three runs, and then 14 runs. And then it's like, oh, maybe they're breaking out of it. And then they go back to like cratering. So, a struggling offense hitting ninth. So no thanks. And I don't think that there's going to be anybody else that's going to creep in. I think that person for this year for them is going to be Brad Miller. He kind of found his spot in playing time.
Yes. Yeah.
So, albeit he doesn't hit the out play in the outfield, but I think that, he was the St. Louis Cardinals, magic dust sprinkle that they have every year. I think he's the guy this year.
So. No, his performance is to shout out to the great Matty fucking Wood who called it last week and I added his ass and he's going crazy right now. So
yeah, he just won't stop.
well, I got to tell you, Matthew, we added him 100% on, you know, you put him in the article. I read it. I thought about it, and I looked at his batted ball metrics, and I liked him, so we added him for super cheap in our OC. Started him, honestly, we started him because the way that we had our roster constructed, we had to bench Kyle Seager, Kyle Lewis, and Stephen Piscotty because of the COVID scare, because the Mariners were playing the Athletics. Holy shit, how great did that work out so far this week? I think he has 3 home runs this week and 8 RBIs already. So could be lightning in a bottle. I don't give a shit. I got the 3 home runs and 8 RBIs. That's all I needed. So
yeah, lightning in a bottle right now is like a lot of the season. So
I mean,
he already has just in the last 2 games, he has 6 hits, 4 runs, 3 home runs, 8 RBIs.
So, yeah, I mean, crazy.
Where are you at? RBIs, where you at, Christian Yelich?
Yeah, exactly.
So
okay. Madison Bumgarner, he's expected to be activated off the IL. You talked about father time. One, Matthew, do we care? Is he rosterable at this point? He's looked so bad.
Okay, so I'm going to go into Bumgarner first and his ownership. So in the main event, he is still somehow 92% owned. That's a 15 team, along with the TGFBI at 94%. So there's like one team that's kind of holding on to Madison Bumgarner in both 15 team leagues. And then in the OC, he's owned and 52%. I would not be looking to add Madison Bumgarner in a 12-team OC if he is available. I wouldn't do it in a 10-team league. He's cooked.
Yeah.
Right? He's cooked. And then the next guy in that rotation is Merrill Kelly. And he needs to be cut in all formats as well. He's not going to pitch again this year.
He was just transferred to the extended DL, so he can't pitch this year anymore.
There you go. So here's his ownership, and I would have cut him last week when the shoulder or whatever popped up. He's still 26% in the main event, 53% in TGFBI, and 62% in 12-team online championships. So he's still got some ownerships, quite a bit actually, and he needs to be a cut in every single league. And so that brings me to the next guy who I've been kind of in on the last couple of weeks, and that's their young left-handed starting pitcher, Alex Young. And so the command was a problem against the Dodgers, and that was kind of the blemish there. And he's a two-step this week, and his next start's going to go against the Giants, and I expect him to actually have a better outing. And the positive thing is that we saw him when he first got called up to replace Madison Bumgarner. He was going like 3 1/3, then he went 4, and then 4 1/3. And the pitch count was kind of around 70, 75, 80. And now we're seeing mid to high 80s, and they're letting him to go a little bit deeper. I don't think the Diamondbacks are going to be in the race whatsoever. They are pretty much bottom of the barrel at 14-23. That's a 378 win percentage. So I think that they want to just kind of give Alex Young all the burn that he can have while they like kind of slowly stretch him out as they are doing. And his ownership's right now. So in the main event, he is 97% now. So he's only available in one league. So whoever you are, whatever league you're in the main event, add him. And then in the TGFBI, he's at 53%. And then the online championships, he's only at 37%. And so I like him the rest of the way. I pulled up his schedule, and this is the remaining schedule. It's at San Francisco this weekend. Then he gets a start versus Seattle at home. Then he goes on the road against the Angels. And then he's either going to get a home start against the Rangers or the Rockies, depending on how they manage the days off in between. So I like the last four starts for Alex Young, and I've seen some things that I like while watching him pitch. Even against the Dodgers, he was getting some swing and misses and some strikeouts along the way, even though he was walking some guys, and then the Dodgers did make him pay for it. So he would be the guy that I would look to add in that rotation.
No, I think that's really interesting, especially as they've gone down. He at least provides some form of value, which I don't think those other guys really do. So nothing more to add there. I think that's pretty interesting. Let's move to the Braves. It looks like one side of good news, one side of not so good news. Ronald Acuna, according to 680 in the Fan in Atlanta, is supposed to start on Friday. I think that's one that we just keep our eye on, but assuming he's in there, you get him back in. The downside is Ozzie Albies. He has still not taken batting practice on the field, according to Brian Snitker. Matthew, on the case of Albies, is he a cut for you, or how are you looking at a guy that probably in a 12-team format was a third to fifth round pick, and in a main event format, maybe, I doubt it, probably as high as the second, but could have been, but maybe second to fourth round pick. What do you do with Albies?
It sucks what has happened. You're getting a negative ROI regardless of the outcome from the remaining of the season. But I believe, so here what I'm reading from Grant McAuley, who is one of the beat writers for the Braves, Snitker said that Albies will head to Gwinnett and hit off some live pitching at the alternate site within the next couple of days. And once he's done that, they're going to reevaluate him, and then they're going to have a strict timeline. So I would hold off this weekend because we really don't know what the case is. It would suck if you've held him this long and he's given you nothing and he's only hurt you, and then you cut him this weekend and it's like, wow, he looks so much better than we anticipated. He's going to be ready to roll by the end of the weekend or whatever it may be. I would just hold one more weekend. I know you've probably already just worn thin on him and you want to just let him go, and it's one of those feel goods, but hold on to him this weekend, get the last final report on when his timeline is, because they still don't have it. And then once they give that timeline, if it's anything more than a week or two, I would easily cut. But I would just wait, because if it is sooner than that, maybe he is right, maybe he's corrected, maybe he feels better, and maybe that, yep, you know, was really, you know, a huge dent in what was going on, and you know, he wasn't even able to hit from both sides of the plate and all that. So
sure.
Maybe he can catch lightning in a bottle. We don't know, and we do know that the talent and the electricity from him is there, so I would hold this weekend.
Okay. Let's move on to Mark Sheldon of the Reds has announced that Nick Senzel has resumed working out. Do you have any interest in adding a guy like Senzel? Is he worth a flyer in either format, 12 or 15 team, or are you nervous about what his recovery time is by the time he gets back on the field and where he's able to go?
I mean, if he does come back, I kind of want to wait and see on that. I know that if he is available, it's like you should add him now, you know, to get him on the cheap, because if he does get a timeline and he is called up or brought back from the IL, then people are just going to kind of go in on him with whatever remaining budget. Yeah. But the thing is that budgets aren't that high anymore throughout the league. I was looking at my league mates, and it's not that extreme, you know, from the bottom to the top, and we're all pretty much fucking broke. So I would just wait. I wouldn't add right now. I'm not adding anybody hurt that's not playing. I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going to stash a hitter that's not going to be playing. You need those hitters to be playing. What happens if you add Nick Senzel this week and then Monday morning, one team has a positive COVID test and they get shut down for the first half of the week, and obviously that means their opponent gets shut down for the first half of the week? And what if you have two players on one team and two players on the other team, and now you have Nick Senzel? Yep. That's not going to help you win down the stretch. So I'm not going to be adding any player that I do not know that is for sure going to be in that lineup.
Sure. Okay. Patrick Saunders of the Denver Post is reporting that David Dahl is close to a return. Any thoughts on what to do with Dahl and this completely messy Rocky situation, which looked like it had sorted itself out with Garrett Hampson hitting leadoff, then led to Raimel Tapia batting leadoff, to the Rockies acquiring Kevin Pillar? What are we doing with a David Dahl situation?
They don't know what they're doing with a David Carl situation. They don't know what they're doing with a Garrett Hampson situation or a Raimel Tapia situation or a Sam Hilliard situation. They have no fucking clue what they're doing. I think Kevin Pillar is like the only outfielder that's going to play every day outside of Charlie Blackmon. Like that's what it seems to be, because they really, really like what Kevin Pillar is going to be able to provide in that field with all the hitting and whatnot in center field. And watching him early on, he looks good. And he's just he is going to – everybody is going to hate Kevin Pillar no matter how good he does, and he has already looked pretty good. Out there, he's gotten a stolen base, and he's played tremendous defense as always. So he's not going anywhere. Charlie Blackmon's not going anywhere. So now what do you do with Tapia, Hampson, Dahl, Hilliard? I mean, I've just named four guys for one spot.
Yep.
Okay. Yep. And they have the DH. Yes, yeah. So they can kind of – but they like Daniel Murphy there for the most part. So I don't know. I think I might have to just – I'm probably held on to David Dahl too long. I have like one share of him in the NFBC main event, and I'll probably wait it out this week to, you know, see if he does get activated and see what the situation is. But if I notice if there's a you know, some sort of break in his timeline and he doesn't come back – or if he does come back and he's just not plugged in right away for back-to-back days, he's an easy cut. All of them are. It's just getting way too crowded. It just continues to get crowded. I don't know how it gets so crowded. It just
yep.
They have like a whole school of outfielders every single year.
Yeah.
I don't get it. You don't need seven outfielders. You don't.
Well, they think they do for some reason.
They have a left side of the infield. I get that. So you want to start, you know, fluffing things around elsewhere. Fix your fucking pitching.
Yep. No, I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you more. It's definitely interesting, to say the least.
I can't stand that organization, dude.
I know.
I can't. I'm done. And I'm not even a big prospect, so I'm not no dynasty player. I'm not a prospect guy. I don't have any love for Garrett Hampson or any of those guys. David Dahl, Sam Hilliard, whoever. I've never, you know, I'm not one to cling on to an early young guy just because he's young and he's a pedigree. I can't wait to see him shine. It's not that for me, but it's just everything that they do in general and how they manage that. Like, they can't even score runs in their own ballpark right now. They just make me sick. I'm done with them.
Yep.
Move on. Rockies suck.
Well, let's move on for us. This one's an easy one. We saw Jacoby Jones break his hand this week, unfortunately, on the IL, likely to miss a couple weeks. Easy cut there. Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Okay. Jose Urquidy looks like he may start one of the doubleheaders upcoming for the Astros. I know you were high on him prior to the season starting. What are your thoughts on Urquidy, and could he be, if he's unowned, could he become a stash that he holds down a rotation spot for the Astros in the future?
He's an ad everywhere this weekend. So
okay.
He, from the last thing I read, I believe he's projected the Astros have a doubleheader this Saturday. He's supposed to get one of those seven inning games. I'm not sure. I haven't been able to dig up what his last sim or any of that was on in regards to pitch count. So I don't know if he's at 70 or 80 or not. Knowing that organization, I'm not going to be surprised if he goes, if they just rub him into the ground like they're doing with Framber Valdez and Zach Greinke, to be honest with you. And even though it's just his first start, sure, his first start, especially in a seven inning game, they might only piece together three innings for him. That could be the case. However, if you already own him, I'm not sure you already started him this week in a weekly setup. So that's not part of the equation anyway. So adding him this weekend, the next four starts of the season, this is what Jose Urquidy is going to get for the rest of the year. He gets at Oakland versus Texas, at Seattle, and at Texas. I want all of that. And from everything that I've seen last year, if he can translate that into this year, and knowing Dusty Baker and his tendencies on letting his starting pitchers go deep, especially with 10-plus rookies in the bullpen, Jose Urquidy can be a league winner moving down the stretch. His ownership percentages as of right now in the NFBC main event are 97%. In the TGFBI, it is 68%. And in the online championships, it is 53%. So if he is available, go get him.
His teammate, Alex Bregman, is expected to join the Astros during their road trip, according to Brian Taggart. Is this just kind of a watch and see if he gets activated and maybe we start him next week?
From what I've read, I don't have it up right now, but I think he's like filling 100% and he's good to go. So I wouldn't be shocked if he's activated this weekend, actually. So pay attention early tomorrow morning and look at the lineups before this weekend, because if he is activated on Friday, then you're going to want to put him into your weekly lineups. If not, then I would assume that you will feel comfortable putting him in the week forward. So you can expect him back soon.
Okay.
And he got he's a nomination for the Roberto Clemente Award. What the fuck is that all about?
I know. What a great guy, right?
Yeah, fuck. I mean, you know, cheaters never prosper. Huh, right. Like,
they do.
They do.
Yeah. Okay, we've got Eliezer Hernandez. Unfortunately, we talked about the Marlins a little bit before. He left his start early, was placed on the IL. I don't know that we have a great replacement for him yet. Obviously, they've been going with Pablo Lopez, Eliezer Hernandez, Sixto Sanchez. They traded Caleb Smith. He was part of the Jonathan Villar deal, so he went over to the Blue Jays. But any obvious replacements that stick out to you for the Marlins that are worth an add?
Real quick, Caleb Smith actually went to the Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes, but yeah, no. But yeah, it's hard to keep up with what the Blue Jays, the Marlins, and the Diamondbacks. They were all kind of crisscrossing there. But I think it's hard. I don't know if they're. From looking over here, it says Trevor Rogers is going to be the next guy, but it currently shows TBD. We brought up. It's a bummer because it is a lat strain for Eliezer Hernandez. So. Ooh, those are tough. I don't think that we see him back this year. And okay. If we do, it's going to be tough to get ramped back up and, you know, get that volume that we're wanting out of him. So I don't think he's not going to be viable the rest of the way. I would cut Eliezer Hernandez if I own him this week in any league. And so then we mentioned Pablo Lopez, Sandy Alcantara, and Sixto Sanchez as being, you know, stable starters at the top. And I'm just not sure what they're going to do with the back half of their rotation, yeah, to be honest with you, because Jose Urena, I mean, he's still not back from COVID.
Yeah.
And he was one of the persons that was like confirmed and like, I don't know. So hopefully he can get back. Trevor Rogers is the other guy that's supposed kind of fill in. And then maybe they, you know, maybe they start a game with like Yimi Garcia and Brad Boxberger and stretch it out from there.
Whatever they can do to stay relevant is all I want. I just want.
Yeah, they're fun, man. They are. And so there's nobody. Long story short, there's nobody that you're going to be able to prosper or benefit off of Eliezer Hernandez getting on the IL, because that person was Sixto Sanchez and he's already on the board. So.
Yeah. No. Fair enough. Eisen Diaz has reached an agreement with Major League Baseball and the Players Association to opt back in for the rest of the season. Is he a guy that's fantasy relevant for you, Matthew? He had some really, really good splits this spring and looked to have won the second base job for Miami. Do you think, do we trust a guy that's been off this long? And if we do you think he eats, you know, like John Birdie's been pretty good and gotten some cool steals for us. What are you thinking about Diaz? Is he fantasy relevant?
How does one opt in?
I know that Nick Markakis did the same thing, right?
But he did it. Yeah, but he did it like before the deadline. I guess there was some imaginary deadline.
Yeah, so I don't know how he's doing it.
So Diaz had
now.
To like air quotes reach an agreement. It's like, what did you do? You have to do community service or like what
know.
The fuck?
I don't know. You know. It's weird.
It's like I don't know either. So can David Price do that? Knock, knock, knock. I'd be like.
I actually saw something asking if David Price would. He was considering opting back in. I really did.
Wouldn't that be rich for that dude to just jump in 2 weeks before the fucking playoffs? And just if that's, you know what, that's kind of interesting. If you are in a high stakes league, and for whatever it is, if you have you have seven reserve spots in those leagues, and if all six of your guys are just healthy and you have the rags to riches and far, far too much, you almost have a problem of who to start this week or whatever it may be in that regards of offense or pitching, and those six spots are just loaded, and you have a seven spot where that's just whatever you do have the wealth to churn and burn. I'd contemplate maybe adding him because I've read a little couple things too that there was some. You know, I guess there was a conference call and they mentioned his name as well. And Yeah, I would, because if he does come back, and it probably, he wouldn't be stretched out or anything like that, I don't think, but man, I don't know, maybe he gives you a couple bullpen innings. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just a name thing or a Dodger thing or something like that, and he's not worth anything if he does come back because of the ramp up period. So
sure.
It's just intriguing to see these guys. Oh, I want to opt in. I want to opt out. I don't want to take care of my kid anymore. Let's go travel hit the road. You know. Like, That's what I feel like with Nick Marquez, because he was just tired of the family.
Yep. All right, I'm going to save our favorite player for last, Matthew, in the show outline, so I'm going to skip him. I'm going to go to Marcus Semien. I was reading that Bob Melvin was afraid he may need to go to the IL, but I think we're seeing now he's probably going to take another day off Friday and play this weekend. Are you starting Marcus Semien this weekend, assuming things keep going that way and he may only play two games?
No, absolutely not, especially because at least on my teams, I know that my middle infield hasn't been an issue for me. If it's, you know, shortstop or second base, I've felt pretty good when having to put somebody there. So shortstop was really deep this year, and so I think that most teams do have a second shortstop that should be able to slide up there. And from what it sounds like, he's definitely missing tomorrow on Friday. And so it's still up in the air if he's going to play Saturday or Sunday. That's great if he does not hit the IL. But I've seen far too many times teams say, he's fine, he's not going to hit the IL, we're going to wait until X day and see how he feels before that game. Dodgers said that about Justin Turner. I damn well knew they were going to put him on the IL regardless. And they did that before Tuesday's game, but they wanted to see how he felt. Sure.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I would just... You know, you're only getting two out of three games this weekend as it is, and they've had this week off, so maybe they're a little rusty. I just wouldn't touch him this weekend. I would just bench him and then hope for the best that he actually does not hit the IL, and then, you know, roll him out next week. So, yeah.
The good thing is it looks like we're getting baseball from the Oakland Athletics. It was announced today that Daniel Mengden was the positive test, and actually it may have come from – him being in his hometown of Houston is some speculation, but the good news is he recognized it right away, got a positive test, stayed away from the team, and no additional positive. So that's a positive sign. So
they get 8 games next week.
Oh, that's some decent.
They played five, dude. It's going to be so entertaining. The Astros and A's play 5 games,
ooh,
Monday through Thursday. Yeah, that's going to be fun. How many people are going to get hit and ejected in that one?
All right, last two.
You think you're getting 5 games Monday through Thursday until a fucking ball breaks out on Monday and none of your guys are playing the next four.
The resurgent Will Myers, unfortunately, hit the IL on Tuesday. It does not look like it's COVID-19 related, but it does. I mean, he is being listed as an undisclosed illness, so there could be precaution or something's going on. Matthew, I don't think we know a whole lot about this, and it wouldn't be right to speculate about it, but what are you doing with Will Myers? Just hold on to him for now? Cut him? What are you thinking?
Oh, man, I would hold this weekend. I'm not cutting this weekend, that's for sure. So you're going to hold this weekend because it's just – we just don't know what the hell's going on with him. It's just – it's kind of weird. It's almost similar to Dexter Fowler, but doesn't seem as severe right now. So just because we don't know and what he's been able to provide on that team and what he's done this year, I'm holding him this weekend. And then next week – you know, hopefully we get some more clarification and hopefully it isn't anything, you know, too severe or health wise, injury wise, you know, you don't want to see that with anybody unless they play for the Heat 2017 Astros. So, I would hold Will Myers this weekend and then progress forward after that when you get another news update on him. And hopefully everything is all right with him.
Yeah. All right. And then our favorite player, shockingly, on his first game back from the IL, Aaron Judge re-injured his calf. He has currently no timetable for a return, and Aaron Boone has said they plan to play this one extremely cautiously. Instead of it being a minimum stint, it's likely to be a couple of weeks. Matthew, we don't have the luxury of time of a couple of weeks. At a minimum, he cannot come back until the start of period 9 in fantasy baseball from when he came out. So that would give you 2 weeks of time left. if you are an Aaron Judge owner, which I doubt that you are, but if you are an Aaron Judge owner, are you cutting him?
I have that fucker in one league, and it was Barf, and we drafted it in early February. And we fortunately have IL spots there, so I'm just stashing him there. But in any NFBC league, I do not have him. And it sucks to see this happen because the talent's immense. We saw it at the beginning of the year. We saw it with Stanton. We saw it with Judge. But ligaments and bodies are, you know, that stuff piles up, man, and it doesn't go away. And the older I get, the older I realize that myself. And I'm not even a major league athlete that has to put all this strenuous wear and tear on my body. I'm just an everyday mailman. So if it's, you know, hard for me to recover, it's going to be hard for them to recover. They're not superhuman. Just because they have the big fucking muscles and all this other stuff, I know that we just want to see them hit 60, 70 home runs every single year, but it's just not the case. I would cut him. I would cut him, plain and simple. Even if you get 2 weeks out of him, what if he's not elite for those 2 weeks, and what if he hurts you? Yeah. You know, that can happen. He does have a historic high K rate, and that was my concern even outside of the injuries this season in a shortened season, was hitters being able to be up to speed to the pitchers, and then hitters with high K rates, them it affecting them more, you know.
Yep.
So
yep.
I would cut him.
Okay.
But don't throw rocks through my windows if he comes back. Sometime next week and hits like 10 home runs the next 3 weeks and wins you every – or loses you every league because you cut him.
And I have one breaking news item for you, Matthew, that literally just occurred. Jose Altuve, who's having a really bad season, just left with right knee discomfort. He's only hitting 219. Is Jose Altuve a potential cut given that he currently sports an OPS under 600 and he's been pretty poor, if that knee is a little bit worse than we thought?
Okay, so I actually saw the video, and I think it was when he was sliding into third base. Oh, it was, and it's probably going to be his left knee. The video I saw, though, I actually posted it on Twitter. It looked funny because it looked like his testicles hit the corner of the bag, and that's why he was hurt. So
that's not good.
And that's why I found it fun. It's not funny when someone gets hit in the testicles, but hey, 2017 Astros. Stay to the course, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why I thought it was funny. But now that I'm just continuously looking at the video right now, and it does look like the left knee kind of, it does buckle and bend back. And if he has a sprained knee, he's a cut. Okay. And he hasn't been doing much anyway, so what do you expect him to do the next 3 weeks? You know, he's a cut. Yeah, it sucks. Knee disc, If he hits the IL with that knee sprain or anything like that, let's not even say it's torn. Obviously, it's way further down next. That's for 2021. But
sure,
for this year, if it's something that does put him on the IL with what I just saw, I think he does go on the IL. You cut him.
Okay.
And when he comes, if he does come back, what has he done this year to show you that he would help you win a league?
Nothing.
Absolutely. Nothing. There's no trash cans.
Yeah, exactly.
I know it gets old. Sorry, I'm just bitter.
No, not at all. I get it. Matthew, that wraps everything I had up. Anything you want to highlight for the listeners besides our Fab Pod this Sunday morning that we'll do? Anything you're working on?
No, we just finished an FTN. I know this is a baseball podcast, but some of the FTN guys, we just finished a 14 team fantasy football league, and we're now talking about doing an auction league in-house as well. So if you do play fantasy football, I highly, highly suggest you do check out FTN Fantasy for season-long content. We do have an NFL game plan that has projections, rankings, tiers. That comes with cheat sheets that have advanced metrics and that help you able to predict future performances. And it's not as expensive as some of the other sites. And I think that it really does give you a bang for your buck. I used it, all of that research and information for my NFFC Primetime, which is a $1,700 entry just to get into the league with a $200,000 grand prize. And I used nothing but our FTN stuff. So I'm confident in it. And so, yeah, I want to help promote that on their side of things. I don't do a lot of stuff over there outside of like the best ball and auction work and stuff like that. So I'm more high stakes oriented on the NFFC side. But their stuff really, really, really is good. And it's not like what you normally see when you go to ESPN.com or CBS and you just see all the same shit. There's some projections in there that stood out to me that I was really intrigued by. And when you throw those projections into an evaluation system, you'll see that it differentiates from the draft market. So if you do play fantasy football, give those guys a chance over there on the football side of things at ftnfantasy.com, because they really are sharp and there's a ton of good players over there, and they put together some amazing tools.
Awesome. No, great summary. Looking forward to it for sure. That'll wrap things up for our 20th episode on FTN. Everybody look forward to Matthew's fab article this weekend over at ftnfantasy.com. We'll do the audio version of our podcast and get that up soon. But as always, please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And thanks for listening.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast with the two Matts. Please rate, subscribe, and review the podcast, and we hope you listen again soon.